have a sermon outline in your bulletins to follow along with me today. And if you could all tell me, what is our title of the sermon today? Praise God. Let us pray. Hallelujah, Lord. Gracious God, eternal God, creator God, God of love, we bow before you in humble submission and adoration. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for choosing us. Thank you for desiring for us to love you back and to choose you back. Thank you for being a God that both gives and receives love. Lord, we pray today that as you guide us with your word, that you would open our eyes and ways, Lord, so that we can love you more completely. Help us to love you more fully and help us to love you as you have loved us. And we give you all the praise, Lord Jesus. In the mighty, mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And the people of God said, amen and amen. Praise God. Thank you so much, Karen, for that wonderful song and just the testimony about God's love, because that's what we are talking about, falling in love. And our sermon series, Pastor Rick kicked us off for the month of February, getting ready to fall in love all over again. Pastor Rick talked about loving the ain'ts. That was a deep sermon last week. If you missed that sermon, you need to get the DVD, go online, do whatever you have to do to listen to that sermon. That sermon needs to be listened to a couple of times, because I had to go back and listen to it again, you know, when I was preparing my message. I was like, wow, I didn't know he said that. That was so good. But that message touched us on so many different levels and gave us so much to think about and to reflect on and ways to grow. And if you didn't get to listen to it, please go get it. So Pastor Rick gave us our first message, falling in love with the ants. And today we're going to be talking about falling in love with Jesus. Next week, Pastor T will be bringing us falling in love with the saints. And then Pastor Rick will close us with falling in love with the world. So my first question to you today is, why are we talking about love? Why are we spending all this time talking about love? Well, we're in the month of February, right? Tomorrow is what? Valentine's. That's right. This is the month of love. And we as humans, we love talking about love. We sing about love. We dance about love. We write poems about love. We watch movies about love. You know what? Love is the most talked about topic in all human discussions. We talk about falling in love. We talk about falling out of love. We even discuss the different types of love. If I were to ask you right now, what are some types of love that you know about? Anybody know? Agape love. Anything else? Filial love. Amen. Any others? God is love. Praise God. And sometimes we describe love in those terms, but sometimes we describe love like this. We say, there is a love of a friend. And we say, there is a love of your kids. And the way that you love your next door neighbor or your neighbors, there's your first true love. Everyone know that first true love? Anybody had a first? Okay, nobody had a first true love in this room, except for me and a couple other people. But there's a love of your parents. There's a love of pets. Many of us love our pets. And there's a love of material objects. Some of us are in love with our car. Some of us are in love with our TV. Some of us are in love with money or clothes or something like that. But we can talk about different types of love. But we can all agree that love is a part of the human experience. Most of us want to give love, and we definitely want to receive love back. Amen? Many of us have done some pretty stupid things all for the sake of love. Can I get an amen on that? How many of us have got into fights over love? Nobody? Okay. How many of us have changed or altered the way we look because of somebody that we love? How many of us have just fallen all over ourselves just because we love somebody? Some of us think that we just got to get smarter so that someone can love with us. Some of us sometimes get dumbed down so that someone will love us. But we do just about anything in this world to attract a member of the opposite sex. Why do we do that? Well, because we want this amazing feeling of love. It feels good to be in love, doesn't it? It feels good to have someone offer us love. But what I want to share with us today is that I think that most of us don't know what love really is. Most of us just plain don't get it. We get love confused with attraction. You know what attraction is. When someone walks in the room, your head goes like that. You're like, whoo, did you see that? You turn to your neighbor like, whoo, did you see? You just walked through the room. Or you try to hide that you was looking like, whoo, don't look over there. We definitely get love mixed up with lust. Our bodies are made up of these hormones that sometimes with no control of our own, these feelings come out of nowhere and we go bananas over somebody else. And these feelings of lust are so powerful and they feel so amazingly good that we think these feelings of lust, they must be love. But tell your neighbor, it's not love, it's lust. So we get love mixed up with attraction, we get love mixed up with lust, and then we all get love mixed up with sex. Why is it that as soon as we think we fall in love, all of a sudden we're trying to take our clothes off? I can't get my pants down fast enough. You say, oh, I'm in love, woo, let me get naked. Why is that we get love mixed up with sex every time? Tell your neighbor, it's not love. You know, just on a little sad note, because I know Valentine's Day is tomorrow, and some of us have already started celebrating. We've had Valentine's weekend. We've already started celebrating. We wanted all that romance. So I wanted to give us a few tips for Valentine's night. Not day, night, because it's our nighttime that get us messed up. You see, I realized that it's a whole lot of people in the church having sex. The problem is not all of us are having sex God's way. And it's not just the young folks, it's all of us that are getting things messed up sometimes, amen? Sometimes even us married couples get things messed up when it comes to sex. So I wanted to give us some Valentine night tips. And I wanted you to write down on your sermon line, I want you to write down things you must have in a relationship. Things you absolutely must have in somebody else. And only one of those things can involve looks. Did you get that? You must have somebody that has a job, maybe. You must have someone that loves the Lord, maybe. You must have someone that is kind and caring. You can only pick one that has to do with looks. Like you must have someone that is tall. That's your only look that you get to have. So your must-haves. And then I also want you to write things you cannot stand. I cannot stand somebody that claims to be one thing and then does something else. So I cannot stand a liar. I cannot stand someone that cheats. I cannot stand whatever it is you cannot stand. And then on your Valentine night, when that person comes knocking at your door with the flowers or the candy, I want you to pull out that list of your must-haves and your can't stands. And I want you to look at your list real good. And I want you to see, if they have all the must-haves, you might want to let them in the door. If they have the can't stands, take the flowers and the candy, say thank you and good night. Not only must you write down your list of must-haves and can't stands, I want you to write down what you must give. You see, a lot of times we think about, what is this person going to do for me? But we need to ask ourselves, what am I willing to give? Yes. And then also I want you to write down, what can't somebody stand in me? What don't I want to give away? My bad attitude, my lack of inspiration, my unkindness, whatever it is, what don't you want to give away? And you write that down, and then when that Valentine approaches you, you also evaluate that list and say, can I give this person what they are offering me? Can I give them something better than what they are offering me? So those are just some tips for your Valentine night. But I want us to go back to this concept of that we get loved all mixed up. We get it all wrong. And we get this whole concept of love all mixed up. And the story that was read in our New Testament reading helped me to understand this. When I read this story of Simon, who is also known as the disciple Peter in the Bible, I just want to go back and just give us a little bit of history. We all remember Peter, right? Yes. Peter was the disciple that said to Jesus, I will never betray you. And Jesus said, before the rooster crows three times, you will deny me three times. Peter says, no, I won't be the one that denies you. We all know that story, right? And we all know that Peter eventually denies Jesus three times. Then Jesus goes on to be crucified. Jesus goes to be raised from the dead. And then after the resurrection, Jesus appears to many women and men in the New Testament. So we all together with the history. Okay. So we have our New Testament reading here today. Jesus is standing on the Sea of Tiberias with Peter. And Jesus asks Peter four questions. And Jesus begins with a two-part question, and so question number one and question number two are put together. And Jesus asks, do you truly love me? Do you truly love me? Then he adds, more than these. Do you truly love me? And so that's where we're going to begin today, with Jesus' first question of, do you truly love me? When Jesus asks this question of Simon, the Lord was revealing what I was saying before, that we as Christians don't really get it. We don't know what love is. Let me explain this more thoroughly. Most Christians agree, as Brenda said, that God is love. Amen? We all agree to that. Most Christians would say that Jesus is the most important part of my life. Amen? But if you ask a Christian, when did you fall in love with Jesus Christ? Ask a Christian, when did you fall in love with Jesus Christ? Let me tell you some things you won't hear a Christian say. You won't hear that Christian say, oh, it was that day when Jesus came walking through the door and, woo, he looked so good. He had them pants on and his hair was all like that. And my head just turned right around and I was like, oh, I love him. That was not the day most Christians fell in love with Jesus. Most Christians would not describe Jesus by saying, I fell in love with Jesus, and then all of a sudden I had to take all my clothes off. You would not hear that when you were talking about falling in love with Jesus. So when we start talking about falling in love with Jesus, we quickly realize that real love has nothing to do with attraction, lust, or sex. Love is so deep and so profound and so different from anything else on this earth. And Jesus comes up to Peter, who he called Simon at the time, and says, do you truly love me? What does it mean to truly love Jesus? This is the ultimate question of every human life. Who do you love? Or maybe it's, what do you love? You see, when you ask the question, it gets at the root of what's really in our hearts. When Jesus begins with this question, do you truly love me? Jesus is showing Simon, I know what's in your heart. I know what's in your heart. And Simon quickly reacts to this question. He says, yes, I love you. I love you. And Jesus says, wait a second. Do you love me more than these? What are the these? What are they looking at? They're standing by the Sea of Tiberias, and so we can imagine that they're looking at fishing rods or a boat and some nets or some water or anything that's before them, and we know that this is Peter's work, and so when Jesus says, do you love me more than these? He's saying, Do you love me more than all this stuff? Do you love me more than all of this stuff? Read together with me Joshua 24, verse 23. It says, "Now then," said Joshua, "throw away the foreign gods that are among you and yield your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel." The word idols jumps out of that passage. Jesus is asking Peter, do you love me more than your idols? Do you love me more than your job? Do you love me more than the materials in your life? Do you love me more than all this stuff? Now, let me clarify before you think I'm going to tell you to go home and get rid of all your stuff, because that's not what I'm telling you to do. If you notice, Jesus didn't tell Peter to get rid of one thing. He asked him, do you love me more than these? And Peter says, yes, I love you. And then Jesus goes on to tell him the first time, feed my lambs. Feed my lambs. Two words in that statement, feed and lambs. You can't feed somebody if you don't have anything to give them. You can't feed anybody if you don't have anything in your life. But what God has given to us, it is to be used to feed the lambs. It's not just for us. So who are these lambs that he's talking about? The tender, the weak, those that cannot provide for themselves, those that are looking to others for a little bit of help. You know, Pastor Rick spoke in his sermon last week about people being hurt in their childhood, and that hurt carrying through into their adulthood. Could anybody resonate with what he was saying on that? That something that happened to you a long, long time ago was still walking with you today. You know, saints, children are the number one prey in our world. Not just in America, they are number one prey in the world. They are the number one abused. They are the number one homeless. They are the number one living in poverty. They are the number one without insurance. They are the number one kidnapped. That's why we have the word kidnapped. Doesn't say adult nap. They are the number one saints to experience verbal abuse. Number one to experience sexual abuse. Number one to experience emotional abuse. Number one neglected and mistreated. And I can go on and on and with words about how badly our children are treated throughout our world. And it doesn't get better when we come close to home. We say over and over and over again, children are the future, right? And we know that we need to raise children with love and tenderness and kindness and care so that they will become adults who know how to love and care. However, we continue to abuse them, to turn ahead and act like we don't see it, to mistreat and hurt our children. We also continue to hurt our seniors, the weak and the tender. You know, saints, I don't have the words to express what is happening in our nursing homes. I don't have the words to express not even what is happening in our nursing homes, but what is happening in our private homes when we are caring for our seniors. What is it? What is the problem when we get to a certain age, all of a sudden we start treating those who deserve our respect, we start treating them as if they don't have intelligence. We start treating them as if they don't need to be cared for. We start treating them as if they aren't the wise, intelligent people that they are. What is that? Read this passage from John 21. It says, "I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you were old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Isn't that interesting that this is in the passage where Jesus is asking, do you love me? You know, this passage has so much more meaning. This whole passage needs its own sermon all by itself because it has so many deep meanings, more than even with age. You see, because Jesus wasn't just talking about what happens when we get old. He was giving us an example of what it means to submit, to let go. But that's a whole nother sermon. I'm going to save that for another day. So Jesus stands here with Peter and says, if you love me, feed my lambs. The weak, the tender, those that can't provide for themselves. So Peter is standing here thinking, okay, I got this. I love you. End of story. You must be thinking, okay, it's good, Kelly. I got you. We, Pastor Kelly, you can go on. We know we love Jesus. We got it. I love Jesus. Get to the end of this sermon so we can get to our Valentine night here. We got things to do. But Jesus asked the question a second time. Peter, do you truly love me? Now, I know many of us, we think of all the different ways that we define love. You all told me about agape love and eros love and filial love, and all those things are a part of this passage. But what's important here for us today is I want us to focus on today is that love requires thought. Love requires us to use our brain, not to get rid of our brain. Like some of us say, I lost my mind as soon as he walked through the door. That's not love, big clue. That's not love. Love requires us to ask some questions. Why do I love this person? Why does this person love me? You see, we are all in this rush to fall in love. We want this amazing experience, this intense romantic love. We want the butterflies in our stomach. We want the googly eyes and sit up there gazing at each other. We want to do all those things. We want to be so happy. We want all these things, but tell your friend those things aren't love. Not love. They're not love, saints. They get us all messed up. Let me explain to you what some true love experts say about love. And when I say true love experts, I'm talking about quite a few people here. Because some of us think that the love experts are the people that have been married 40, 50, 60, 70 years. They are love experts, saints. But there are also some other love experts. Love experts are the friends that have been best friends since they were in kindergarten and went through some times together and worked together and learned how to help each other. Those are some love experts. Love experts are the neighbors that reach out and been neighbors for 50 years and they stay connected no matter how far each other moves because we're gonna help each other in this community. Love experts are between a mother and a father, between a son and a daughter, between these family relationships. Love experts are the ones that can say, we stood some challenges together. So I want us to know what some true love experts are saying when Jesus is saying, do you truly love me the second time? Do you truly love me? You see, what love experts realize is that when we fall in love, it's real easy. Isn't it easy to fall in love? Falling in love for a true love expert, they know, oh, it's real easy to fall in love. But a true love expert would say, it's easy to fall in love. The challenge is staying in love. It's real easy to stay, to love somebody when they first looking all good and everything's going all right. But the key is staying in love for the whole journey, not just a part of the journey, amen? You see, when Peter first fell in love with Jesus, he was so excited about Jesus. He was saying, Jesus, I will never deny you, Jesus. I will never, ever do anything to disobey you. I'm so connected to you. I'm so engaged with you. Everything is all about you, Jesus. And Jesus looked at Peter and says, You love me so much that you're going to deny me. Peter said, no, I'm not going to be that one. I will never do this to you. And Jesus says, you will deny me before the rooster crows 3 times. And he still thinks, no, because I love you. I can never do anything to hurt you. Then that rooster crows. Cock-a-doodle-doo. 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 You see, saints, we're no different than Peter. When we began this walk with Jesus, we were on fire. Anybody ever tell you you were on fire for the Lord? We were feeling good. Everything was doing great. I will do anything for Jesus. I will be the best Christian. I will go on every outing. I will be at every prayer. I will be at every service on time. I'm going to sing in the choir. I'm going to usher. We are on fire for the Lord. Cock-a-doodle-doo. 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 We have so much pride as Christians. We always think that we are the Christians that got it right. I can sing better than any other Christian here. I can dance better than any other Christian here. I can pray better than any other Christian here. I got it all right when it comes to Jesus. And Jesus is saying, cock-a-doodle-doo. You may love me. Cock-a-doodle-doo. Do you truly love me? Cock-a-doodle-doo. You see, Jesus knows us so deeply that even when we first give our lives to Christ, he already knows every single time that we're going to fail. Jesus knows every single time that we're going to choose our own needs over that of his lambs. Jesus knows every single time when we're going to be late for church on Sunday. Jesus knows that promise about you singing in the choir and you still haven't sung one note. Jesus knows all about your promise to be the usher and we haven't seen you in a black and white outfit yet. Jesus knows us so deeply that he asks this second question a second time because he wants us to understand. He wants us to think about it. Before you make this commitment to me, before you get involved in this relationship, do you understand what will be required of you? Think about it. So Peter says, yes, I love you. And Jesus tells him again a second time, take care of my sheep. Now this time, Jesus doesn't use the word feed. He uses the word take care of my sheep. Sheep becomes the lamb. And this time Jesus is referring to those that are strong and mature and got things going on. You see, some kind of way, saints, we get this idea that one group in the church is more needy than another group in the church. That it's always, we say, oh, the youth need this. We always talk about what the youth need. And oh, the seniors need this. And oh, the single people need this. And oh, the married people need this. And oh, the women need this. And oh, the men need this. But none of us can be complete without Jesus. And none of us can be complete without each other. Loving Jesus means having this big, 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 big picture of all people, not just some people. So when we think, okay, this is good. I got this complete picture of love, and, you know, I understand what it means to love Jesus. Jesus comes again a third time and says, Peter, do you love me? Now, why this third time? Why would he ask another third time? Because, saints, we don't get it. We don't get it. When I think of an America where 90% of the people claim to believe in God, when I think of all the churches in the world, when I think of just all the churches up and down 105 and here in the St. Clair Superior area, when I think of all the folks that get up every single day and go to church, and yet there is still so little change. So little change. When Peter heard Jesus ask a third time, scripture tells us that Peter grieved. It hurt Peter. It was like this flashback of all the things he had done to betray Jesus Christ. And Jesus showed that light right upon Peter. And it's like he just jammed it right in his heart. And he said, let me show you how dark your heart really is. You see, saints, all of us have these dark, hardened hearts. We all have these really dark places. And when Jesus put that light right up to Peter's heart, he said, you are a sinner. Your heart is dark. You are broken. You claim to love me, but every time things get difficult, every time things get a little boring, every time things get a little going in a way you don't like, you bailed out on me. You want all the blessings, but you don't want the suffering. And he's holding that light. And Peter is grieved. And I ask you today, are you grieved about your sins? Are you broken about how you have made many promises? All of us, me included, all of us make these promises. How many of us promise I'm going to read the Bible every day? Have you kept your promise? I'm going to go to Bible study. Have you kept your promise? I'm going to find a way to serve. Have you kept your promise? Or when things got a little hard, when things got a little lonely, when we got a little frustrated, when the bills weren't right, did you give up and bail out on Jesus? When God didn't bring that promotion, when God didn't bring that love that you've been desiring in your life, when maybe you had to go experience some jail time, whenever it is you had to endure, did you bail out on Jesus? Saints, we are all broken. We are all sinners. But thank God with this brokenness, because of this brokenness, we can know Jesus. You see, without us being broken, we are not able to hear and receive the guidance of Jesus. That's why, saints, I think I'm going to stop complaining about all the things my kids do wrong. Because sometimes we need to be broken. Sometimes they need to learn some lessons through their disobedience, and God is going to pull them through in ways that I can never pull them through. Without brokenness, saints, we cannot have repentance. Without repentance, we cannot receive the Lord's love of salvation. So Jesus asks one last time, do you love me? And then he says something, if you do, feed my sheep. You see, saints, this time he takes it all and puts it all together. He says, give what you have given, what I have given to you. Give what I have given to you and feed and take care of all of these, the tender, the weak, the strong, and the mature. And as I close here today, I want to point out something else about love. We've already said God is love. That means Jesus is love. God never, ever, ever forces us to love him. But Jesus places a choice before all of us. Do you love me? He says. Do you truly love me? Not just for a few fleeting minutes, but will you keep loving me? Will you find ways to stay in love with me even during the hard times? And at the end of your life, will you be able to look back on your own life and say to yourself that falling in love with Jesus was the best thing that you ever, ever, ever did? Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you for choosing to love us. Thank you, Lord, for falling in love with us. These broken, sinful creatures with these dark hearts, Lord Jesus. Gracious God, help us to examine our own hearts today and ask ourselves, Lord, when did we fall in love with you? And when are we going to fall in love with you again and again and again? Gracious God, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for all that you're going to do in our lives. And it's in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus Christ that we pray. And the people of God said, amen and amen.